finish up a little bit of what we started last week in the sugya on Kuf Zayin with regard to two people eating at the same table. One is eating meat and the other is eating cheese, and we're afraid they may eat from each other. In the case of Makirim Zedzeh, the Gemara pointed out that even in the case of Makpidim Zedzeh, since they're Makirim Zedzeh, we make a little plug. And there was a machlokes how to interpret this Gemara. According to one interpretation, that was the Marshal, the Yamshel Shlomo, he insisted that we're talking about two achim. That in the case of two achim who are makpid one on the other, we make a low plug, because that category of achim is a profound category of makirim zetzeh. But in the normal case of makirim zetzeh, it all depends on makpidim zetzeh. So if you have two people who are not brothers and they know each other, but they're makpid not to eat one from the other, according to Yamshel Shlomo, they would be allowed to eat from the same table. Zeh basar v'zeh gvina. The Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, says shnei bnei adam hamakirim zeh zeh afilu makpidim zeh zeh asurim. In other words, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we accept the lo plug even in the case of shnei bnei adam rechokim zeh mizeh, meaning she'enam achim. So that means that despite the fact that they are makpid one on the other, which means that the real motivation for this gzera, this chashash, is completely removed, nevertheless we're going to apply the principle of lo plug. That's according to the Shulchan Aruch. Then we had another discussion, and this is more in the poskim, as to whether or not a heker, if they set up a simon between the two of them, and they're eating off the same table, would that be sufficient? We know that in the case of a nida, we have a principle of heker, that if there's a fear that they might eat from each other or have some sort of a relationship between each other, then we set up a heker between them. And the question is whether or not that heker would be effective even with regard to this isur of zeh basar v'zeh gvina. Now we also mentioned last week, just to reiterate, that the Shach holds that when we talk about makirim zeh, that doesn't mean that they just casually, they're associates, they know each other, but it means that they are reim, that they have a such a close relationship, she'enam misbaishim zemi zevi ochal kol echad mechavero.
That's meant by makirim zetzeh.
That's the way he interprets makirim zetzeh. The Prima Gadam refuses to accept that pshat. He says makirim means makirim. That doesn't mean they have reus between them. And according to the Prima Gadam, it could be that they don't have this extreme intimate relationship such that Einam is Baishim Zem Zem Yochal Kolecha Michavero, even if we don't assume that necessarily they'll eat one from Chavero. Once they fit into the category of Makirim, then we have this Chashash that maybe they'll eat one from the other. So we have a Kula of the Shach and a Chumra of the Prima Godin in that case. And what we said before about whether or not a heker should be meaningful, we find a similar issue in the poskim as far as a shomer is concerned. Rabbi Kiveger says in the name of the Gan HaMelech that a shomer to be mashgiach between them would not be meaningful. Even though elsewhere the Gemara says that a shomer is meaningful, for example in Hilchos Shabbos, when there's a fear that if he reads Lior HaNer, he might come to tip the oil in and violate Melechus HaVar, there a shomer would be effective to remind him at Shabbos. But here in this case, Rabbi Kiveger says you need a shmirah tmidit, he calls it, an ongoing shmirah below hefsek, v'holo efshah, it's impossible to fulfill that requirement. However, we mentioned that the Ben Yehoyada, the Lev Aryeh, and others, they hold Mahani, it is meaningful, Lahamid Shomer, to set up a third party to be a watchman, so to speak, and guard them and remind them that they shouldn't be eating one from the other. This one's eating meat and this one's eating cheese. As far as the Machlokas HaPoskim, whether Heker is meaningful or not, so Lahalocha, the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that Heker is meaningful. And that's in Simon Pei Tes. However, the Poskim say that Bal Nefesh Yachmir Al Atzmo, that we shouldn't use and rely on a Heker. Now, what happens in the case where one person is eating alone? He doesn't have anyone eating with him on the table, and he is eating from the basar, but he has milk on the table as well. So here too, with a kolshkein almost, we would assume that it's asur, because he may forget himself and eat from the cheese even though he's eating meat. So therefore he would not be allowed to do such a thing. If, however, he would put the two on different sides of the table in such a way that he cannot reach out and take it, that apparently would work, and check the poskim on that. What happens if the other person that's eating with you on the table is a guy? That too becomes an issue in the poskim. The placey says that in a case of Yisrael, the guy, even if it's makirim, it's mutter, because he calls it levavos rechokim. There's no intimacy, and we're not afraid that they'll eat one from the other. However, other poskim say no. The Gemara doesn't stipulate and qualify whether or not the other person eating at the table is a guy or a Jew, and therefore, if they're all of him, say, even though he's a Jew and I'm a guy, I'm a Jew and he's a guy, it doesn't matter one way or the other. In all cases, we're going to have this chashash. So that's an issue in the poskim. That's what we more or less touched on last week. The Yad Ephraim says that we have a principle called Ein Ligzar Gzeros Chadoshos Shelo Nizkiru Beheja Bidire Chazal. And he's addressing the following issue. What happens if two people sit down at the same table? One is eating basar and the other is eating gvina. One of them finishes his meal and the other one is continuing to eat. Is there such a thing as a chashash? And the Yad Ephraim wants to say that since it's shalom b'shas achila, therefore we're not going to extend the gzera beyond what Chazal spoke about. In other words, the Gemara is talking b'shas achila. You want to extend it even shalom b'shas achila, that doesn't apply. And there's a sefer called Kanfei Yonah, which he quotes here. He says, "Dafka im eino ochel ka'es shorevam bizmanchu ochel lechem osu." So if, let's say, his friend finished his meat meal, but he's still continuing his meal, he's eating parva, he's eating ices, or a piece of bread, then that's still considered shas achila, and even though he's no longer eating meat at this point, the gzera, the chashash, would apply, and therefore it would be also for you to eat cheese from the same table. The af bizman shochel lechem, even though he's only eating lechem, the Yad Yehuda insists that there would be an isa called shas achila. Other poskim, however, disagree, and they say af bizman shochel lechem shari. Even though your friend who started a meat meal has not completed his meal, he finished eating meat and he's eating lechem, so you would say, well, the su'ud is still going on, the party still goes on. No, shari, you're allowed to sit next to him and eat cheese. And the Prima Gadim accepts the opinion, lekula, because since right now he's eating bread, he's not eating meat, there's no chashash of his feeding meat to you, and you're eating cheese, or whatever the case may be. Now, what happens in the following scenario? Li'achar achilas habasar, he finished eating his meat, and rotzelis asik b'achonis machole chol. On the table, he wants to prepare, and this is very relevant, for a housewife today in the kitchen. You know, she's already preparing for a milk meal, or there may be other individuals who are not partaking in the meat meal. So she's already involved in his askus b'achonis machole chol. So the question is, if somebody is eating meat at that time, is she allowed, or again, it doesn't mean she, but are you allowed to be misasik b'achonas macholei cholov? And the Kanfeyona that we mentioned before, the Yad Yehud as well, they write that dafka b'shas achilah chayshin and sheyochal. In other words, if you're not involved in eating cheese right now, even though someone's eating meat, you're allowed to prepare the cheese because that's not an achila. And once again, we go back to our principle that we don't extend the gzeris of Chazal. When Chazal had a gzera, it's written explicitly in the Gemara that b'shas achila, you can't have two people eating from the same table, zeh basar zeh gvina. But now, it's no longer shas achila. You want to extend that to shas askus be gvino, let's say, b'achonis macholi cholov. No, that we're not going to do. Okay, now we go back to the Gemara itself, and we'll see one very, very ambiguous, so to speak, line, or confusing line in the Gemara. The Gemara says here on Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, that lo asru ela b'tfisa achas. What does that mean here, four lines up before the end of the Amud, five lines up? Lo asru ela b'tfisa achas. Rashi says b'krach echad. Very difficult to figure out what that means. The Gemara says tfisa achas al kedaitach. Is it possible that they're eating together from one kricha, so to speak, from one receptacle or mixed together meat and milk? That you can't take this literally, but rather ela ke'ein tfisa achas. In other words, they cannot eat from the same meal, from the same table, in a way that's ke'ein tfisa achas. Again, a literal translation is, if the meat and the milk are mixed together. What does that mean? So it means, Rashi says, tfisa achas akateka belo shulchan ochel, ochel of namios. So forget about the fact that they're eating from the same table. If it's all mixed together in one kerach, in one kricha, that's certainly awesome. El ke'ein tfisa achas. Now, Tosus, Dibra Maskel Ke'ein Tfisa Achas, is going to give us the following interpretation. And he says that we're not allowed to eat meat and milk on the same table with one mappa. In other words, you can imagine a situation where two people are eating on the same table, but it's considered shtei tfisos. Why? Because there are two mappos. So you're eating from one tablecloth, off of one tablecloth, and I'm eating from off another tablecloth. That should be okay. This very much reminds us of what we saw before in terms of setting up a heker or a hefsek between them. And we said that they are poskim, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to accept that shita, that if they set up a hefsek, that would be a mitigating circumstance.
It's just the middle of the Tosos, right, which says ochel al mappa acheres, the abay ke'in say tvisos. See, that what you mean?
That's the case of shtei tvisos, which is mutter.
Right.
So if you're eating on your tablecloth and I'm eating on mine, even though we're technically eating off the same table, That's enough of a heker. And again, those poskim take this a step further. They say you could put any sort of heker, even presumably if there's only one tablecloth. Why? Because that heker is going to prevent some sort of interchange where one will eat from the other. Now, in the footnote that I have here, he says that there's another interpretation that Tosfos offers, which was accepted by the Marashal, by others, and in that second interpretation, Tfisa Achas means Tfusas Habayis. Tfusas Habayis is a technical term from Perek Yesh Nochlim in Bava Basra, referring to Nachla and Yerusha, that after the death of, let's say, the father, the sons together have what's called Tfusa Achas. Before they actually divvy up the inheritance, at that point they have a joint financial ownership, a kind of a partnership over all the nechassim in the estate. Or in modern terminology, we could talk about a joint bank account. Let's say we open up a joint bank account. That's called Tfisa Achas. So the Gemara immediately asks, Tfisa Achas Salka Daitoch, what's going on over here? If they know each other, and there's, let's say, we'll use the terminology of the shach, you know, there's some sort of reus between them, what difference does it make whether or not they bought it from one bank account, and you know, the credit card is written on both names as a partnership over the bank account, or they have two different financial bank accounts? Well, what difference does it make? So the Gemara answers, ke'ein tfisa achas, which means that makirim zetz is enough to generate an isur, and we don't need tfisa achas. We don't need that they both share one partnership over their financial assets, because once there's makirim zetz, that's enough to create the chashash. But if ain makirim zetz, they don't know each other, one the other, then it's mutter. And if you go with that approach, then the Gemara doesn't mention any sort of heter in a case where they set up a heker, which would mean they're eating off of two different tablecloths, or they put some unusual object between them. And it comes out like this, that if you go like the first interpretation of Tosfos, that Tfisachas means that they're eating off the same mapa, but if they're eating off of two different mapos, it would be mutter, then we come to the conclusion that a heker between them, to set up a hefsek, that would be valid, that would be sufficient to be matir, and we could be lenient. However, if you go with the second approach in Tosfos, that tfisas habayis means, in the Hamina we thought it was one joint bank account, in the Maskona we say, no, it's makirim zetz, says ke'en tfisa achas. Nowhere does the Gemara even hint to the possibility of setting up a hefsek or a heker between the two of them. And therefore, the Marshal concludes that if you go with that pshat in Tosfos, and basically the whole discussion here is about makirim zetz, but there's no discussion, no one raises the possibility of a heker, then you would need a harchaka. They wouldn't be able to eat this one cheese, this one meat, even if they set up a heker between them. The Bach, on the other hand, claims that even according to Tosfos, that heker, in that second Shabbos, that heker is not meaningful, but nevertheless, if they sit at a distance, and we mentioned this, we touched on this before, this is the Bach, she'ein echad yochel lifshot es yodov v'lokachas mimenu mimashe yesh lifnei chaver, meaning what food is. So even if he would stretch his arm at it, his friend's plate is more than an arm's distance from him, then mutarim lecha al shulchan echad zeh basa gevina l'divrei hakol. Even according to Tosfos, in that second sheet, that doesn't allow, it doesn't recognize a heker. So if we're sitting very close to each other and we know each other, you're eating meat and I'm eating cheese, then a heker between us would not be meaningful. But if you move to the other end of the table, or I, then since it's not b'chdei she'ilifshon, it's yodol l'kachas mimashi yesh b'chavero, it's mutter. Now the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosus's first pshat, and Tfisa Achas and Shtei Tfisas all comes down to this concept we called Mapa Achas, or Shtei Mapos and Heker, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch is matir. They're eating basar and gvina from the same table as long as they put a heker in between.
It sounds interpretation from Yesh Nochlin, that's very, it's a little, it doesn't really relate to the context of the Gemara.
That's why the Gemara immediately rejects the phrase. Exactly. In other words, in the Hanami, the Gemara was into linguistics. Yeah. And this concept called Tfisachas only appears in one context, as far as we know, in Shas, and that's with regard to Nachla.
Yeah.
But the Gemara says, very nice. So you stuck, you know, very carefully, you're clinging to the literal translation of Tfisachas. I mean, that's fine. But it has no bearing and no relevance to our discussion over here. Now again, you could say that the Havamina was that if they both share the same bank account, that's a barometer and indicates the extent and the profound nature of their intimacy. That's the connection between the two of them. But the Gemara rejects that because the Gemara thinks that even if they operate from two different bank accounts, if they have a close friendship, the Chashah should still be very relevant. Now, getting back to this note one more time in the Masifta, he quotes the Maharam Rutenberg, who says that Masha Oru Shemol Heker Lecha Al Shulchanecha Zeh Basa Zeh Gvina, the validity and leniency in the case of a Heker, which is again codified as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, Haynu Dafka B'Shnei B'nei Yodim Shochlim Zeh Basa Zeh Gvina Kem Sheyesh Kan Shtei Deos Umaskirim zedzevel odom echod sheochel gvin al shulchano osur laalos al shulchan basar v'lo yoyelo heker lahatir halozu kevin sheinkan shtei deos v'ein mishi askirenu shelo lochal mimenu. So here's where we find the chumrah in that Kal V'Chomer case, where it's one person alone. If there are two people, one eating meat and one eating chicken, then you have to ask yourself, what are the possibilities statistically that maybe one would stick his hand, you know, stretch out his hand and eat from his friend's plate? In the case of one person, he's not in any way inhibited, and he may forget himself, and in fact eat from the cheese that's on the table. And the Marami Rutenberg says that that's a more chomerdiki case because the difference is where the heker would work. If you have two people and they put a heker between them, that's going to remind, so if one of them forgets, at least the other one remembers, and he's going to remind his friend, hey, remember we put down this heker, make sure you don't take from my plate. If on the other hand there's only one person alone eating meat, but on the table is both meat and milk, then his heker is not going to do anything because we're afraid that he might forget about it, and sort of almost as an instinctual reaction, he may grab for the cheese. So heker is not going to help him. Now, just to end this with the Chochmas Adam of Rabbi Avraham Dantzig, whose tefillah for Erev Yom Kippur we're going to read in 2 days. So the Chochmas Adam says that Heker works not only for Shnei B'nei Adam, but also for Adam Echad. In other words, he doesn't require two variables here, you know, that would mitigate and make sure that he remembers A plus B, meaning A, that there are two people here, so one will remind the other, and B, that there's a Heker. Even if you only have one variable, meaning it's only one person eating at the table, but he sets up a Heker, then he'll see the Heker that he himself set up, and that'll remind him. So let's say, for example, I'm eating basar here. I have cheese on the table right here. In between the two, I put my boot. I put my shoe. Okay, I wouldn't put a shoe on a table. But let's say I put something that doesn't belong on the table. And if I stretch out, you know, over it, it might get it splashed, you know, might get it dirty, I might ruin it, and so on. But something that, so automatically, when I want to stretch my hand across to the Gvina, I see and I notice that heker, it reminds me, I put it there for a reason. You know, it's not just coincidental. Now we get to the sugya of lo plug. So Omale Rav Yemar Bar Shloimel Abaye Shnei Achim Akpidim Zed Zed. What's the din? Omale Yomru Kol Asrikim Asurim Rak Srike Baitus Mutarim. Are we going to allow people to purchase for the Leil HaSeder these matzahs that are made by Baitos, where there's no chashash of chimutz? The baitosim would make shapes on their matzahs, which is called srikin, and that's prohibited because we're always afraid that maybe the dough might ferment to become chametz before he finishes his artistic, beautiful pictorial matzahs. But in the case of baitos, we don't really have that chashash, because in that case, they have these molds, as we called it last time, and immediately they'll be able to make the shape. There's no delay, and there's no reason to be afraid of any chimut. So the srike baitus are certainly chametz free. You know, they have a good hechsher, but nevertheless, we have a low plug situation. Well, you know, somebody's going to say, "Oh, you allowed me to buy these beautiful artistic matzahs from the Baitus bakery, and yet the next bakery over, which is has the great hashgacha, you know, Rabbaran Soloveitchik's hashgacha on Streis matzahs, and yet you tell me I can't eat the matzahs that have pictorial artwork on it." And a person's going to say, "Well, wait a minute, yesterday you allowed me to go into the Baitus and I bought pretty much the same exact matzahs." So we can't allow that. In other words, what we need in order to be matir a gzera and say that in such a case the gzera is not effective, is not valid, is we need a heker yadua. You know, everybody sees clearly the difference between one and the other. So you see two brothers eating at the same table, they're eating milchiks and fleishiks. You know, what heker do you have that they're makpidim zed? You don't know. It looks identical to every case of makirim zed and the shneachim. And that's going to be low plume. And the same thing applies here in the case of Sriki Baitus, because there's no heker here that would clearly indicate that this is a different kind of a pictorial matzah. And therefore we're going to apply the principle of lo plum. On. Now, last time I think we mentioned the Minchas Yaakov. I'll just quickly review it. And he says that this low plug that the Gemara is applying to Achim Shemakpidim Zedzeh applies specifically to the case of Achim. Mm-hmm. Right? Because in most cases of Achim, the majority, there's a reus and a closeness, Eina Makpidim Zedzeh. In the minority of the cases, once in a while you have Achim who are makpidim zelze. That's the very unusual situation that we're talking about. So that's a very rare mute kind of case of Nevuch brothers who have some sort of a split, so to speak. So therefore we go from the rove as a low plug to the mute, because if you're going to make special exceptions in the mute case, the unusual case, then people are going to come to expand that and apply it to the majority case. But in the case of Shnei Bnei Odom Shemakirim Zedzeh, Aval Makpidim Zedzeh, there, in most cases of Makirim, they're Makpidim Zedzeh. You only need it only in a higher level of Reus, a very special, unique minority case of Reus. So we're not going to go from the minority case and expand through a low plug to the majority case and say that now we're going to apply this Isur to all Makirim Zedzeh. Why? Because most Makirim Zedzeh are Makpid Zedzeh. You know, you have this rare case of Makirim the Eino Makpidim Zedzeh. That's the rarest kind of case. That's the rare case. So we're not going to go from the rare case, the minority case, and expand through Lo Plug to the majority case. And if I'm not mistaken, this Minchas Yaakov is based on a Tosis at the beginning of Masechet Ksubos, Mamish on Daf Beis, because I remember that Tosus there differentiates between a low plug from the majority to the minority as opposed to the other way around. So the Gemara asks, Ula Taimeich, Hadi Omer Avasi, Omer Av Yochanan, Misha Elo, Elacholok Echon, Mutalach Aboso, Becholo Shel Moed. Normally, we prohibit kibus on Chol HaMoed. And the reason for that gzera is that Chacham didn't want to ruin our Chol HaMoed. You know, people are going to say, well, I'm not going to take care of my laundry on Erev Chag, I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. Why not? So the Chachamim asked that. Now, what happens if a person has only one chaluk, he has only one beged? What are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him, well, he's allowed to wash that one beged because he needs it desperately for yontif and it's not clean? And let's say he cleaned it on Erev Yontif, but it got dirty on Yontif, and now he has to clean it a second time. So what are we going to say? Let's aser it, because it's not Nikar Lebrios. Not everybody knows that he has only one beged. And the Gemara says, Yomru, let's apply the same principle of Lo Plug, here we're on Kuf Chesam and Aleph, that Kol Asrikim Asuru Srike Baitus Mutarit, which is a catchphrase for Lo Plug. So how could it be that in a case of Choluk Echad, we would prohibit it when we know that it's mutter? Now the Gemara doesn't quote its source, but it seems that Rav Yochanan himself, who is the Baal Hashita of Lo Plug, here in this case, he disagrees with applying the Lo Plug. And he says in the case of Elo Elo Cholok Echad, he holds Mutal Chabso B'Cholos Shel Moed. And the question is, what about Yomru? What about the Lo Plug situation? Nobody knows that he has only one beggar. That's private information. So the Gemara says, Hasam, there it's Nikar. It's clear to the onlooker, the spectator, that he has only one Chaluk. How? Omer Amar Ravashi, a zoro mochiach olav. Now the word azar in Hebrew is called a chagora. You know, he has a belt. And that chagora is going to be clear evidence to the onlooker that he has only one chaluk. Because any person that cleans his beged will do so without the chagora. In other words, what he's going to do is he's going to take the chagora off the soiled beged, and he's going to use it for a different beged. Let's say he has one belt that he shifts from one. He doesn't need a separate belt for each one of his begadim. However, if a person only owns one chaluk, then he's going to wash it together with the chagora, because he doesn't have another beged to which he would transfer the chagora. Again, you and I might say, well, let him wrap up the chagorah and put it on a belt hanger. You know, they didn't have belt hangers in those days. So we want to, either you put it on this chaluk, or you take it off and put it on a second chaluk. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So when you wash a beged, in 99.9% out of 100, there is no chagorah, there's no azar in the washing machine, if you follow what I mean. Because why should you wash the chagorah? The chagorah doesn't get soiled. And not only that, if you keep washing it, it's going to probably get ruined. It's going to slowly disintegrate. So you take it off and you put it on another chagorah. On another chaluk, I meant to say. But in this case, everybody sees that he's washing his chaluk together with the azar on it. It means that everybody will understand he only has one chaluk, because if he had another chaluk, he would take off the chagorah, the azar, and place it on a different chaluk. So therefore, it's not that we're undermining the principle of Yomru Kol Asrikin Asum Asrike Baitus Mutar Menevi of Lo Plug. We will not apply Lo Plug in a case where it's Nikar, where we see the Tama Heta, the reason to be Matir, is crystal clear. This is a case of a person who's in dire straits, he's desperate, he only has one Chaluk. And I can know that he has only one Chaluk by the way he washes the Chaluk. And therefore I'm going to allow him to do Kibus on this one single Chaluk. Why? Because it's Nikar. He's doing the kibus together with the chagorah, with the azar. But that's not the case in Srikin. In Srikin, all the matzahs look the same. They all have pictorial, artistic pictures on them. And so too in the case of Shnei Achim, there's no heker that they are makpidim zetze. So this one's eating basa, this one's eating gvina, they're eating off the same table. And nobody knows that this is a unique case because they are makpidim zetze. And therefore the chachamim, in the case of the absence of heker, are not going to allow them, based on the logic that they're makpidim zetze. You know, again, there's a very strong, compelling logic to push us in favor of being matir, but we can't do so because of lo plugin. No one's going to know that these two achim are makpidim zetze. Again, you might ask me, what happens if there's public knowledge that they're makpidim zetze? Maybe that would be a little bit different. Now, before we start the next Mishnah, I want to go back to the Moreshes Moshe for a minute. And he says that when the Gemara said before, Lo Asru El Ke'em Tfisa Achas, there's Machlokas Rishonim. So first he starts with one interpretation, which we saw in Tosfos, that if Yesh Dover HaMafsik, Lo Havi Ke'em Tfisa Achas, that if they're eating off two tablecloths or they put up a hefsek between them, then it's considered that it undermines the ke'em tfisachas and therefore it's mutter. And many poskim, he has a whole list, accept this view. And the Darkei Moshe accepts this view, and the Taz, and this is the interpretation of many achronim. So im havi dover mafsik, if there's dover mafsik, lo havi ke'en tfisa achas. So now we'll quote the Chochmas Odom, that heker moel gam be Odom echad. You remember the Chochmas Odom disagreeing with the Marami Rutenberg, and heker is meaningful even if there's only one person at the table. Now we have an unbelievable kula of the Maseis Binyamin, who's quoted in the Piskei Chuvim Peches, the imacherim ochlim imahem, if they're not two people at the table, but rather many people, again he doesn't tell you how many, then ain't tzarich heker. However, the Piskei Chuvim already points out that we don't understand this Maseis Manim, davar tamua. It's true that in a case where a husband and wife, and she's a nida, are eating in a public gathering, you don't need a heker. That's because they're not in private. There's no romantic mood over here. Deleka kiruv hadas, as we call it. But that has no shaykhus in basa b'chalav. Basa b'chalav, no matter how many people are on the table, if you have a relationship with the guy sitting next to you and he's eating cheese and you're eating meat, we have the chashash. So we're not going to accept this maseis binyamin. And that's completely rejected. No matter how many people are on the table, you're going to need a heker. We'll accept a kula that a heker works according to that day in Tosfos, because it's not considered ke'em tfisa achas. Now here we have a chumra of the Ramah. The Ramah says that in order to be matir, in the case of makirim zetzeh, you need two things. You need a heker. Number two, they have to be eating off two different tablecloths. That to me is a gevaldig chumra. I don't know why the Ramah came to such a conclusion. The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch simply write Mahani Heker O Shtei Mappos. The O clearly indicates that you have two alternatives. Either you eat off two different tablecloths or you put a heker in between, even though you're eating off the same tablecloth. Now, Yesh Mefarsh lo also tfilachas komer hotzachas. Tosis quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, and the Achronim say that im Yesh lem hotzachas lo mahani heker. I'm a little confused, because I would say that even if ein lem hotzachas, still heker is not working, because according to this interpretation of Tosis, heker is not even a factor. It's not a variable. It's not even mentioned in the Gemara.
Tosfos is very explicit that that's the case.
What's the language of Tosfos again?
The first say, "Lo, I recall she mutar lechol al shulchan echad bishvil hefsek shebein atayim."
So again, so let's read this again. He says, first he quotes the Shach, and that's we're very comfortable with that. L'shita sayesh b'farshim lo mahani heker. Hatur kasa b'shem yesh omrim shem yesh lem hotzah achas lo mahani heker. That's a very difficult quote, a line in the Torah that seems to undermine everything we've been saying. And here he quotes both the Bach and the Shach, says that it seems from the Torah that if ein lem hotzah achas, then mahani heker. He says that doesn't reflect the sheet of the Yesh Mefarshim. According to the Yesh Mefarshim, there's no source whatsoever for Heker. There's no din of Heker here. The Taz interprets that even according to the Tur in the name of the Yesh Omrim, Mashakosav, Im Heim Bo Tza Achas, and in such a case, lo mani heker kavanoso de ime makirim al yidei hotzah o heker. So he wants to squeeze this into the language of the tour. Lo mani heker. If they're makirim zetzah, either through hotzah or through hotzah, you know, we could be associates and friends for one of two reasons. One is within a business context. For whatever reason, we have a joint bank account, you know, we opened up a geshef together, or we know each other. And in both cases, the Torah says in the name of Yesh Omer that lo mahani heker, there's no viability to heker. We're going to accept the first opinion of Tosfos, and shtei mapos or a heker is sufficient. The Knesset Hagdola Piresh Dedeya Zu He Deya Shlishis Hamafresh Zagamara Kedeya Achas Demahani Heker. He says this last opinion reflects the first Shita in Tosfos that Heker is meaningful. Svirli the Im Kol Sheyesh La Motza Achas Lo Mahani Heker. Whole new interpretation. That if they have some sort of joint business venture and a joint bank account, then Heker is not meaningful. But in general, heker is a mitigating circumstance. Then he quotes the Riaz. The Riaz is from the Tirani family, you know, from the family of the Marit, if I'm not mistaken. And he says the following, Dekein tfisa achas, hainu shem krovim zelozeh. As we said in the paradigm case of Tfisa Achas, we're talking about an estate that fell to two brothers. Here too, when it's Ke'en Tfisa Achas, it means Heim Krovim Zelazeh, they're like brothers. Again, are they brothers? Are they first cousins? He doesn't spell it out. He says Heim Krovim Zelazeh. What does that mean? Is he saying that we're completely ignoring the whole sugi makirim zetzeh? That now we've changed makirim zetzeh to krovim zelazeh, and the whole iser of halod zeh v'zeh is only in a case of krovim? So the Marshal says that what the Riaz really has in mind is Shem Yoshvim Rechokim Zemizeh. All you see in the Riaz is, you know, a difference between Krovim and Rechokim. We assumed it was relatives or non-relatives. He says, no, Krovim means physical proximity. That's when there's an Isur and a Cheshad. But if Yoshvim Rechokim Zelazeh, he doesn't mean Rechokim in the sense that we're not related, but it means Rechokim meaning in terms of our location at the table. She'ein yochel lifshot yodav alito me'ochel chavero shari. And the Prima Gadim apparently was very excited about this interpretation of the Riaz. So la'aloch la'maisa, again, I don't know, we have to check this out inside, but I would think that if they're Rechokim Zemizeh, then we can accept this shita that it's mutter, as we saw before. Now he has a suffix. Im richuk mahani rak b'shnei b'nei adam, o dimel gam ba'adam echad mahani richuk. So I'm sitting alone. Is it enough that I place the cheese at a distance? So that's what we have here in the Moreshes Moshe. That leads us, we don't have time to really go through it, to the next mission, which is on Daf Kufches, line 3, which is the famous mission of Tipas Cholov. So if Asher will be back here tomorrow, I don't know where Eric is these days, and Chaim is not here. If they'll be back tomorrow, it'll be perfect timing to start this new Mishnah. This is the most famous Mishnah in this Perek, and probably in all of Masechta Chulin, the famous Mishnah of Tipas Chol. I'm going to try to prepare this Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah itself is very complicated. There's Rashi on the Mishnah, there's Tosis on the Mishnah, and each one has its own little take on what the Mishnah has in mind. So that's as far as tomorrow is concerned. Tomorrow is a regular day of Slichos, so I think we should be able, we'll be able to do it. Now, in terms of Yom Shlishi, that's Erev Yom Kippur. I don't know what we, did we come to any conclusion about that?
I don't think so, but I know there's going to be a crowd in the mikveh, for sure.
Here in the shtibel.
Yeah, for sure.
What time does it start getting crowded? Ready at the?
I don't know. I mean, I know that the slichos are scheduled for 6 instead of 5:45, and there's Krisa Torah as well. And then